From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the fifth day of January 2010. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with John Hester. He's at L&M Commodities in Newmarket, Indiana. And then later in the program, Harry Cooney of GrowMark will join us to take up the energy markets. In agricultural news, the Senate Finance Committee is expected to take action this month to extend the biodiesel tax credit retroactively. And while Russia has banned poultry imports from the United States, the ships already loaded will be allowed to dock and unload. And finally, Goldman Sachs says the Chinese economy grew 13% in the last month of 2009. Dave Dickey will have details of these and other stories shortly. Also in this half hour, we'll hear about a feedstuffs calculator developed by the FarmDoc team and the Extension Livestock Specialist right here on this campus. And in just 26 minutes, meteorologist Don Day will join us for a look at the agricultural weather forecast. So stay with us for this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. The Closing Market Report is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for WILL comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks by developing dynamic strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is at stuart-peterson.com.
In Chicago, on this Tuesday afternoon, futures finished the day like this. Nearby March wheat at $5.53, down 4.75. May at 5.65.5, down 5.25. In July, futures at 5.75.5, down 6.25. March wheat in Kansas City at $5.46.75, finished the day 4 cents lower. From the corn pit, nearby March at 4.18.75, up 0.25. May at 4.29, up 1/4. July up 0.5 at 4.37.5. And September corn at 4.41.75, 3/4 higher. December futures finished unchanged at 4.45.25. And the March contract of next year at 454.5 for 2011, up 0.5 cent. Soy complex now. January beans 10.52.25. The settlement price 2.75 higher. The March at 10.61 up 3. May at 10.64.75 up 2.25. And July beans at $10.68.5, 1.5 higher. November futures at $10.23, up 3 cents on the afternoon. January bean meal at $3.1940, up $3.40. January bean oil down 19 cents at $40.71. From the Mercantile Exchange livestock side, the numbers finished the nearby live cattle futures at 86.32.5 for the Febs, 95 cents higher. January feeders at 96.55, up 67.5, and the February lean hogs at 67.60, up $1.17.5. Here's what the numbers look like from the outside markets. February crude oil for the day, $81.77 a barrel, up 26 cents. January ethanol at $1.94.7, a penny and 0.8 lower. Natural gas at $5.66.3, down 22.6. And the RBOB at 2.12.7, 2.2 higher for the day. February heating oil or diesel fuel, 3.6 lower on the afternoon, rather 3 cents lower on the afternoon at 2.19.4. And the gold futures at 1,118, just about 40 cents higher today. Dow Jones Industrial Average now stands at 10,540. That's down about 44 points. And the dollar at 77.62 is down, or rather up, 0.09 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast for the two-state region looks like today. A winter storm watch has been issued for northwestern Illinois from Wednesday afternoon through Friday night. And in southern Illinois and southwestern Indiana from Wednesday evening through Thursday afternoon. This afternoon, skies in northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few snow showers, some squalls there. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy. Highs will range from 10 in northwestern parts of Illinois to 26 in the south this afternoon. And then tonight in northern Illinois, rather northern Indiana, mostly cloudy, a few snow showers, some flurries. Elsewhere, partly to mostly cloudy and cold. Lows will range from 5 below zero in northwestern Illinois this evening to 21 near Lake Michigan. And then tomorrow in western Illinois, cloudy, snow moving in by evening. Elsewhere, partly sunny in the morning, then increasing cloudiness. Highs tomorrow ranging from 19 in northwestern Illinois to 26 in the south. The significant winter storms and blowing snow and frigid temperatures will affect the Midwest Wednesday through Friday. Arctic air will deepen its grip on the Midwest again on Sunday. More on the ag weather at the bottom of the hour.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
The closing market report is made possible by AgriGold Hybrids, funding agricultural programming as an additional service to the many AgriGold customers in the AM 580 listening area. AgriGold, the corn specialists. More information is at AgriGold.com or at 800-262-7333.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's a Tuesday afternoon. John Hester of L&M Commodities out of New Market, Indiana, is on the line today with us to take a look at the agricultural futures markets. Good afternoon to you, John.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Thanks for filling in for Wayne Nelson today. We do appreciate that.
My pleasure.
How did you see the market unfold throughout the day?
We opened a little stronger on a influx of new buying coming in the corn and soy complex. First half hour, the markets were up a little bit, nothing, you know, less than a nickel across the board. After about the first half hour, the buying dried up. It was a very low volume day. Then some profit taking came in from locals and some commercials, and then towards the end of the day, they bought their shorts back, and the market firmed up a little bit, closing modestly higher territory, and funds bought about 1,000 contracts of corn, wheat, and a couple thousand of soybeans. That was as of 1 o'clock this afternoon.
And have you thought much about the quarterly grain stocks reports and the final USDA report that is due out this month?
I really don't have any solid numbers, but I guess I'm like most analysts that think that the government will probably lower the corn production anywhere from 50 to 150 million bushels just on corn left in the field that can't be harvested. And I think the bean number will be within a bushel plus or minus of what it came out with last month.
As you talk to producers, are they concerned at all about corn they have in the bin going out of condition?
I think most people around here watching it pretty close, and there's corn piled outside, and a guy called me today that, well, it's a large elevator, and they had the fans on, and there was steam coming out of the fans, so that corn's been piled on the ground, needs to be moved quite quickly.
And does that mean that we can look forward to lower prices in the coming week?
I think we're in a price range right now in the corn and beans both. If we rally into this report next Tuesday, the government report, I'd probably sell some before the report. And if we stay stagnated in this 410 to 420 area, I would probably gamble on the report being positive and catching a rally after the report.
What have you heard out of South America and the size of the crop and the harvest that is just barely beginning there?
What I've heard is the weather is ideal. They're getting rain, you know, on the beans that still need some rain. The harvest is started. It's still in low gear. And what yields I've heard have been very good, Nathan. They're looking for a record South American bean crop, and that leads me to believe that there's going to be a lot of pressure put on our soybeans at some point in time in the next 30 to 45 days.
Do you deal much with livestock? And there are some predictions that hog producers should have a better year this year than they did in 2009 and 2008. I don't know whether that'd be too hard to predict, but it looks like maybe that will be the case. What do you think?
I'm not really on top of the hog and the meat market as such, but I do know hogs had a nice rally today, up $1.75, and cattle were up about $1, and a lot of that's on the cold weather, and the show lists are short, and the winter storm that's predicted later on this week.
John, I sure do appreciate you taking the time with us today.
Hey, thanks a bunch, Todd.
That is John Hester. He is with folks over at L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. They join us each and every Tuesday right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
Agricultural programs are made possible by First Midwest Bank, serving Illinois' agricultural community with locations in Champaign, Danville, Galesburg, Morris, and McHenry. More information is available from Sarah Lukacs in Morris at 815-941-3709. First Midwest Bank, member FDIC, an equal housing lender.
Now, tomorrow, I will make my way to Mount Vernon, actually this evening, for the Corn and Soybean Classic Series. It begins there. Kickoff And for registration is about 8 o'clock. It's a day-long event with the production specialist from right here on campus. I'll host that. If you'd like to come, you certainly are welcome. It's at the Holiday Inn there in Mount Vernon tomorrow. Registration at 8 o'clock for $75.
In agricultural news, the chairman and highest-ranking Republican on the Senate Finance Committee have told Senate Majority Leader Harry Reid they plan to move forward early in 2010 with an extension of a $31 billion package of tax measures that are expiring at the end of the year. Included in the package will be a retroactive extension of the federal tax credit for producers of biodiesel. Senators Max Baucus and Chuck Grassley say their goal is for the committee to take action to extend the range of credits for businesses and individuals shortly after senators return from the holiday recess on January 19th. The head of global research for Goldman Sachs says China's economy likely grew by 13% in the last month of 2009, and market fears that the country is manipulating the data are exaggerated. Jim O'Neill says, quote, "Many observers that don't really follow China closely simply don't accept that an economy where the government directs a lot of the big decisions can succeed." USDA officials say that U.S. poultry loaded for export to Russia by December 31st will be allowed entry into the country, despite a new ban that began on January 1st. About 30,000 tons of U.S. poultry was en route to Russia last week before Moscow consumer health officials said they would begin to block imports of poultry treated with a chlorine wash routinely used in U.S. plants. Exports to Russia, the top export market for U.S. poultry, were worth $801 million in 2008. Russia's top consumer safety official says that U.S. officials will arrive on January 17th in Moscow to discuss the dispute. A report by the National Renewable Energy Lab suggests that harnessing Nebraska's largely untapped wind energy resources could create up to 40,000 jobs over the next two decades if a federal goal is met. The report says that if a federal goal of having wind energy make up 20% of the U.S. energy supply by 2030, that 7,800 megawatts of wind energy would be produced in Nebraska. Currently, Nebraska has the capacity to produce just 153 megawatts. Existing wind farms in Iowa produce more than 3,000 megawatts, and in Kansas, more than 1,000 megawatts. The United Nations Food Agency is stopping aid distribution to about 1 million people in southern Somalia because of attacks against staff and demands by armed groups that aid groups remove women from their teams. At least four of the World Food Program's staff have been killed over the past 18 months, and militants threatened and attacked three of its offices in the south. The World Food Program supplies aid to some 3 million people in the war-torn country, which is also struggling with drought and produces only a third of the food it needs every year. And Oil World Today says that better weather has improved prospects for Argentina's soybean crop. Oil World says likely that the crop will turn out above its end-of-November estimate of 48 million tons. However, the report says that we do not share the view of some Argentine observers who place the crop at 50 to 52 million metric tons. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason, the host of the Closing Mark Report and Commodity Week. You can find both of them online anytime you'd like at willag.org. That's W-I-L-L. AG.org. There, you'll also note that there is a weekend newsletter that you can subscribe to. It's just as easy to get on that list as it is to get off of the list. Both are over on the right-hand side of the page. It's a really good marketing newsletter, so make sure that you subscribe to our weekend newsletter at willag.org. Now, up next, you know, the feed is the biggest input cost of dairy and beef production, and managing those costs is an imperative for the financial health of any livestock operation. I'll have a report on a spreadsheet called the Cost of Feedstuffs Calculator, developed right here on the University of Illinois campus. The Cost of Feedstuffs Calculator is simple to use and simple in design, says Mike Hutchins from the University of Illinois. He asked his colleagues in agricultural economics to develop a spreadsheet beef, cattle, and dairy producers could use to compare the cost of different types of feed. And he says they did it right.
You can put in corn stalks. You can put in barley. You can put in wet corn. You can put all the feedstuffs are there. And if your feedstuff isn't there, you can enter it. And then the computer will go ahead and calculate cost per unit of nutrient and then rank them. And so you can pick your favorite 10 or 15 or 25 and rank them on out.
Mike Hutchins is an Extension dairy specialist at Illinois. He and Extension beef specialist Dave Seibert developed the idea for the Cost of Feedstuffs Calculator. Seibert recognized the increasing feedstuffs choices brought on by the development of the ethanol industry and its co-products had created some financial confusion. It was difficult to compare the value of one feedstuff to another. So they gathered up the data and handed it off to the economist, including a couple of interesting twists, says Hutchins.
Probably two unique things about this software program would be, one, that there is a transportation cost. Many of our byproducts are FOB, FOB Decatur, FOB Peoria. And so if you know what your trucking costs are, you can put that in because that's a true cost. Some of the wet byproducts will have some losses involved, shrinkage, fermentation losses, and you put that in. So in other words, if you buy semi-load and 2% is not fed because of wind loss or bird damage or spoilage, you put that in, and that reflects in the cost as well. So it allows the producer or the user to look at two other variables besides just nutrients and allows us to come in with a custom byproduct feeds provided by those companies.
Producers buying from Illinois companies will find some additional ease of use. The companies and their byproducts are already listed in the Cost of Feedstuffs Calculator. Again, the calculator allows livestock managers, consultants, and veterinarians to compare the costs of purchasing, transporting, and storage losses for different types of feedstuffs. The feedstuffs library includes 120 different feedstuffs comprising 22 company co-products, 25 byproducts, 5 new generation co-products, 27 forages, 11 grains, 9 crop residues, 12 silages, and 9 supplements. In addition, producers can add additional feedstuffs available on their farm. Each of the feedstuffs can be compared to the default feedstuffs, which is number 2 shelled corn, 44% soybean meal, and mid-bloom alfalfa hay. The calculator can be downloaded free of charge from the Fast Tools section of the University of Illinois FarmDoc website. The address is www.farmdoc.uiuc.edu. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, Hudsonville, Illinois, and Crescent City, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. We're online at willag.org. Time now to check in on the agricultural energy markets. On the line with us today from his Bloomington, Illinois office at GrowMark is Harry Cooney. Good afternoon to you, Harry.
Good afternoon, Todd. Welcome to 2010.
Yeah, thank you very much. How is 2010 striking out for crude oil and ethanol?
Well, we're for the crude oil that we trade, the crude oil and the heating oil and gasoline, we're just starting out how we ended last year. We started with a rally in December. We hit a low at about December 10th or 15th, and we rallied ever since then. In fact, the majority of the days ever since that low in mid-December, we have rallied. Some seasonal studies would suggest that type of a pattern. The seasonal study would suggest then you peak out here in early January, and then you try to sell off in price into mid to late January. So that's what history suggests. They always say past performance is not indicative of future results, but at least it's a roadmap for us to go by.
If you take a look a little further out than that, you see $80 a barrel crude oil sticking around?
Oh, I think so. Yeah, I think that there's in 2010 here, I think we will eventually go to even higher levels.
And is that good for the ethanol producer?
Well, ethanol, if you take and look at the crude oil, if it does go on higher eventually, that will likely drag gasoline prices higher. And yes, then that in turn, normally, under normal circumstances, would help the ethanol producer also.
I sense some hesitation in your voice on that.
Well, why I hesitate about that is because we don't really work in our area here with the pricing of ethanol, really. So we're mostly in the gasoline, diesel fuel, and propane area.
Speaking of which, we're in the midst of a really heavy use time for propane because it's so very cold across the Midwest. Are there concerns at all with the supply of propane?
Supplies of propane are still very adequate. Now, by the time we get to the end of the heating season, if we continue with these very cold temperatures, obviously things could start to get tight then. But we went into the season with large, ample inventories of propane and of natural gas. Like you say, those are getting pulled down here now with these cold temperatures, and you get the big snow cover like we have on the ground. It could really start pulling them down to low levels by the end of the season. There are some forecasts out there, though, for some moderation in these temperatures by mid to late January. So I'm not convinced that these cold temperatures are going to last throughout the rest of the winter. But if they did, yeah, then we could start getting down to some low levels by the end of the heating season.
Harry, off and on, as we think about cold weather and propane and natural gas usage, there are concerns, especially when we have a very wet corn crop still either on the ground, in the bin, sometimes even in the field, still yet to be dried, maybe a second time, that there won't be supplies available. I wonder if that's true and whether that happens because it's not possible to push that much through the pipeline system, or if it's just not true at all.
Well, what we found out this fall is that at times we had local outages at terminals here locally. However, there was very adequate stocks of propane, for example, out in the major hub for the Midwest in Conway, Kansas region. It was that we have these here garden hose pipelines, relatively small pipelines, that push product here. We were consuming so much on this end, they could only get so much through the pipe, and so they would have an outage for a day or two, then they'd get more product in. So it's the infrastructure over the last 10 or 20 years that hasn't been upgraded. It's not that we're running out of propane at Conway. It's just that we could get moved here only so fast.
Any concern that'll happen as we go through this cold, cold period?
If we would continue cold or get even colder, we could have some outages, but I think we're in good shape as we go through the into January here.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, Todd.
Harry Cooney is with GrowMark out of Bloomington, Illinois. He joins us here on the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media on a Tuesday afternoon. I'll be back in 2 minutes when we'll take a look at that cold weather forecast with Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming.
With this look at AM 580 News, I'm Jeff Bossert. About 11,000 University of Illinois employees will have to take 4 unpaid furlough days by mid-May. Interim President Stanley Eikenberry announced the furloughs and a hiring freeze in an email to faculty and staff today. It's part of a plan to trim $82 million from the university's operating budget. Eikenberry says no layoffs have been ordered, but departments are being asked to consider them because of a grim immediate future. He says until leaders like Governor Pat Quinn and citizens of the state rally around a long-term solution, the U of I will be dealing with a mounting financial crisis. Chief Financial Officer Walter Norris says the university has borrowed millions from its own funds, including tuition and private giving, to keep the university going. About 100 top administrators will have to take 10 furlough days. The furloughs don't impact civil service employees or those who make $30,000 a year or less. The U of I is still due $436 million in unpaid state appropriations. Governor Pat Quinn says all parts of state government must economize as the U of I announces the plans for furlough days. The governor says the university should get some relief after the state does a round of borrowing later this month. That money will give the state some much-needed cash to pay a backlog of bills. Vermilion County Health Administrator Steve Laker says the elimination of three grant-funded programs helping the families of infants was seen as a proactive measure to put off closing the department's doors altogether. More than 50 are enrolled in both the Healthy Families Illinois and targeted intensive prenatal case management programs. Those two programs and all our kids' early childhood network will be ending in Vermilion County January 31st amid mounting debt owed by from the state. Laker says it's unlikely that other local agencies like Crosspoint Human Services will be able to add to their caseload for that same reason. Vermilion County's health department has received more than $500,000 of the $800,000 owed by the state, but Laker says that probably isn't enough to put off further cuts over the next few months. A soldier from Western Indiana has been killed while serving in Afghanistan. The body of 24-year-old Army Specialist Brian Bowman of Crawfordsville arrived at Dover Air Force Base in Delaware last night. The Department of Defense says Bowman was among three soldiers killed Sunday when insurgents attacked their unit. I'm Jeff Bossert, AM 580 News.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Leonard Seed Service, an independent dealer providing DeKalb and Asgrow seed products, including Genuity SmartStax corn hybrids. Leonard Seed Service provides information and services to help customers in East Central Illinois maximize profits. Leonard Seed Service, 217-497-2270.
You're listening to the Closing Mark Report from Illinois Public Media. It is a Tuesday afternoon. Don Day of Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming joins us today. Good afternoon to you, Don.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Cold here. Looks like it might get snowy as we move through the week, too. What do you see?
Yeah, really more of the same. We definitely have a pattern that has set up here over the last couple of weeks that's going to be stubborn to change. That means below normal temperatures will be found over all of the nation, the exception will be the West Coast. But we're talking about possible record-breaking cold for the rest of this week and into the weekend. They woke up to some 20s and 30s in Florida this morning. It could actually be colder in the southeast United States this weekend with another wave of Arctic air coming in out of the Rockies and Northern Plains states. And there will be some snow. Now, we're not expecting big snows, but the entire Midwest, Northern Plains states, looking at a couple to 3 inches, maybe 4 inches of new snow with this next system coming out tomorrow and into Thursday.
And then if you look a little further out, what do you find?
Well, really more of the same. I think we've got ourselves in a pattern that's going to be stubborn. While we don't see any significant Arctic outbreaks, let's say by the middle to the end of next week, we're going to see temperatures still probably below seasonal normals. And then the wet we're seeing is basically a repeat, where we may see towards the middle of January another wave of colder weather hitting the Northern Plains, states, Great Lakes, and Midwest. So what we have now is probably an indication of how it's going to go at least through the middle of the month.
If you turn your attention to South America, how are the crops there faring? They're beginning started on some harvest, I think.
Well, yeah, and been a little bit of a problem with rain. There's been some very heavy rains in Brazil, some flooding, some mudslides, some problems with too much of a good thing down there. Argentina hasn't been as wet, but precipitation is forecasted to be at normal or above normal values in Brazil, near normal in Argentina. So for areas that are trying to harvest, there is going to be some concerns with maybe some areas, especially in Brazil, that are too wet.
Are the growing seasons, in your opinion, going pretty well, though, this season? Certainly, I suppose, as compared to last season, but as to maybe over the last 10 years, are they doing as well as they have in the past?
I would say so. If anything, temperatures have been, like in many areas of the world the last few months, a little bit below normal. That's one thing that we'll need to see is a heat unit accumulation. South America in particular has not had a very warm growing season, although it hasn't been excessively cold. Australia is a bit different. They've been a little bit warmer. Same for South Africa. Those areas have had near normal heat unit accumulation.
Don, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather out of Cheyenne, Wyoming. He joins us here on the Closing Market Report each and every Tuesday afternoon. It is, of course, a production of Illinois Public Media. I'm Todd Gleason. You have a great day.
This is Les Schulte, Director of Corporate Support. WILL has made a significant commitment to providing area farmers and agribusiness professionals with the best information possible. But we need your support to help continue and grow this service. If you own or manage a business, consider supporting WILL through one of our business programs. Call 217-333-0850 for more information.